This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Today we're going to be going through, beginning a new series on the book of Galatians. Hopefully you've read it throughout your life and your journey with Jesus. But it is a tough book. And here at Mosaic Church, we want the Bible to determine the topic. We don't just flippantly pick up topics and then make the Bible fit what we're thinking. I want to start off today's message with a prayer, but I do want to warn you, the story that I am about to share is of a, it's super sad, and it is, I'm just wanting to make sure that we don't have any little kids. It is of a sexual abuse story. So I just want to prepare you if you need to step away. I totally get it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us this morning to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Thank you for your goodness. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Can't actually remember the exact year, but it was a year that we took a missions trip to Honduras. And has anybody ever been to San Pedro Sula, Honduras? Yes, a few of you. Linda was with us. Upon returning, we were at the airport waiting to get our flight back home. And we were just sitting in the lounge. We had already gone through customs and all that. We're just waiting for our plane. If I remember, waiting for our plane to show up. And as I was perusing the crowd, the big lounge there, it's not a big airport, it's like one big lounge, I noticed another group of Americans in the room. And then I noticed one of the ladies had a small covering on top of her head, and I just began to imagine, guess that these were believers of the Mennonite tradition. So being the nosy people person that I am, I kind of moseyed my way over to that part of the airport lounge. And I saw one of the men, and I just kind of was friendly, and I said hello, and I started talking to him. And I asked him if he was on a missions trip, and he said yes. And I explained to him that we were on a missions trip. And then he told me that they were all going home. So I asked a few more probing questions, and then he dropped a bomb on me, and I really struggled with my theology after what he shared. I'm getting a little emotional, even though I knew I was going to say this. There were four families, young families. There's one family that was a little bit older, husband, wife, kids. Kids were roaming around. And who had felt that God had called them into the mission field, so they obeyed. And they went to minister to the campesinos, the poor farmers in Honduras. And on one Saturday, he told me, they all went out to do ministry, a two-hour journey into the desert area of San Pedro to minister to people. But one of the moms stayed back because she wasn't feeling great. And while everyone was gone doing the mission work, a gang of men showed up at her house. And they took advantage of this middle-aged older mom. So when he shared that story with me, my heart sank and I was just overwhelmed. The same questions that many people struggle with is, why do bad things happen to good people? So we prayed and we cried a little bit together, and then he said, the whole team is going home and we're never coming back. And I totally got it. I was in shock. I got really quiet. It's the story I don't really share too much. We're going to be addressing things in Galatians that are really going to challenge our faith in our journey with Jesus. And so let me just read out of Galatians chapter 1. And Paul says, an apostle sent not from men, not by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me. So to the church of Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He goes on to say in verse 6, I am astonished that you were so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one that was preached to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Typically, when Paul writes a letter to a church, he's kind of like, good news, bad news. You know, let me share the good news about your church, and then let me share the challenging word for the church. Here, Paul, the Apostle Paul, goes right to a challenge. And he goes and he challenges them right to the beginning. And he's challenging them to go back to the beginning, which is grace. He says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God, our God and Father. The believers of the church were turning away from the teachings of Paul, and some of the church leadership were trying to discredit his apostleship. And these were false teachers who were trying to tell the church people that Christ is not enough. If you ever hear from us, anyone on this stage that says that Christ is not enough, I would encourage you, pack up your Bible and step away. And this is what was happening in the church, that Christ was not enough. And we'll go into details as we go into the book. The book of Galatians is powerful to all of us. And let me encourage you to read it and reread it and reread it. It's God's desire. It's a story of God's desire to unleash his grace to all his people. And how this grace is unleashed, it only comes through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus plus something. It's Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection, bodily resurrection. And the Galatians were being seduced by the idea that when life is frustrating or difficult, we begin to find ourselves fatigued in our faith. And the Bible tells us the presence of sin in our lives. And Paul comes out of the gate with a strong reminder that we, the church of Galatia, and I would say us, we need a reminder that we need rescuing, and that life sometimes is difficult, but the answer is always the same. It's Jesus Christ and his grace. Amen. I am astonished, he says in verse 6, that you are so quick in deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. The Apostle Paul is like he knows what's going to happen. And you do too, don't you? When you see someone who's falling away from their faith, you can see what is going to happen. Sometimes we don't have to look very far. We can look at family members who have fallen away, have stepped away from the faith. A good friend. You know, sometimes I look at our alumni, and it doesn't take much to see as our alumni from our Chi Alpha days, some of them are stepping away. You can see what the end looks like. And it's at the end of their life, it looks graceless. It looks joyless. And And at the end, without Christ, life is empty. And so Paul knows what awaits the followers, these followers. And he thinks of apostasy, and apostasy is turning away from once what was once something you treasured. In a few weeks, actually in a few days, thousands and thousands and thousands of young people will start flooding our streets. And among those thousands of people, there will be thousands of young Christians who will begin their journey either towards Christ and grace or begin to abandon their faith. And sadly, many will never return. My challenge to any college student is the university is just a big heat lamp. It exposes what's already in the heart. A lot of times people think it's, you know, it's the university, it's the cause. But no, the university just allows and gives freedom to people to live out what's in their heart. And sadly, many students will come that know Christ, that say they have faith in Christ, will begin their journey in abandoning their faith. Now, typically, when people leave their faith, they do because they think they're doing the right thing. They don't think they are abandoning their faith. They typically think that they are enhancing their life. But when we leave Jesus, when we leave Christ, we are abandoning grace. We are leaving God. It reminds me of the story in Exodus. You guys all know the story, but let me reread it. In Exodus chapter 32, when the people saw that Moses was taking so long coming down the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. And as this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters were wearing and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. And then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people whom you brought out of Egypt have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I've commanded them, and they had made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. And they have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt.'" And sadly, that's what's going to happen for some who haven't heed the warning in Galatians and in the Bible, who haven't held on to Christ. I love that song that we sang talking about how Christ, you know, doesn't let us go. And that's true, but we sometimes, some of our brothers and sisters are letting go. I'm old enough now to notice a few things. That sometimes when people forsake their faith in Christ, and reading from Galatians, it usually comes down to two things. Now, the two things are pretty big, so it's not like only these two things. But one of them is called soul trouble. Kind of like the story I just read, or I shared with you early on. It's a personal crisis. It's hardship. It's tragedy. Loss. And almost all of us have experienced that. Some people, even in our church, have experienced a sudden death of a family member. That's a crisis of faith. There are some that literally have lived that through, and I would encourage you that at the end I'm going to talk about it. I'm encouraging you to talk to them. Talk to them. Why are they still here? Because bad things have happened. Why are they still here? And I haven't talked to them before this sermon, but my guess is they're holding on to the grace of Christ. But people do fall away and forsake their faith because of tragedies, personal crisis, hardship, loss. And then the second reason people step away is they have some twisted truth of the gospel. There was a young man that was part of our fellowship a long time ago, our college fellowship, and he went off to England and he didn't come back. He got involved in a, quote unquote, I would call it a cult, but it was twisted truth. It was a cult. It was Christian, but it was Jesus plus something. And he was duped. And he called his parents because he was a student here at Florida State. He had a full ride music scholarship. And he basically called his parents, I'm not coming back. And his parents, in desperation, asked me to go on their behalf. And they flew me to London. You know how hard it is to look for a person in London? I had a friend that was a missionary there. We landed and we went right to work. And this is pre-internet days or early internet days, especially overseas. People had internet, but you had to go to the cafes. And we were able to decipher that these internet, the emails that this young man was sending to his parents and to other people came from a cafe. But you have any idea how many internet cafes there were in London in those days? And so we spent the whole day going from cafe to cafe, seeing if we would run into him. He'd been part of our ministry for 2 years, played in our worship band. He was our bass player. And then we were about to give up. We weren't going to be there very long in London to try, but you know we were going to give our best. And it was 5 o'clock, and in the part of London we were in, we did not want to be there at night. So we were walking our way to the subway. And as we're walking our way to the subway, there was this huge group of people waiting to catch a bus. And lo and behold, he wasn't there. No, he was there. Right in front of me. And I was about to say his name, about as far as maybe Daniel or Ross was. And my missionary friend said, don't go up to him. Don't say his name. And so I went up to him, and I literally tapped his shoulder, and I called him out. And he looked at me as though I was a stranger. He had only been there for 2 months. And so I asked him if we could walk with him, and he allowed us. And then we ended up going to his flat. It's an apartment. And we met some very strange, they thought they were Christians, but it was a Christian plus cult. After a long conversation with them, they asked us to leave, but they did promise that I could continue to talk to the student the next morning. So we got up the next morning and we went to his apartment to meet up with him the next day. And when I got there, they were gone. The whole group, in the middle of the night, packed up all their stuff and left town. And the only reason we knew that is one of the neighbors came out and told us. They left around 2 o'clock in the morning. And we were never able to see him again. Now, he's back in the States, but it took him 8 years to come back. How did that happen? Was it a personal crisis? Was it a tragedy? Was it a loss? Or was it twisted truth? And we're easily duped of twisted truth if we don't know what the truth is. And so let me encourage you to read the Bible, read the scriptures, and stick to it. Stick to it, the gospel. And sometimes the enemy will come and begin subtle changes, subtle doctrinal changes to fit maybe today's standard, today's culture, subtle, little bit. One of my favorite sayings is, how do you eat an elephant? What? One bite at a time. And how do we get someone to go away from their journey with Jesus and trade in the grace of Christ, one little small heresy at a time. So how do we combat these, I would call satanic, sometimes small, but sometimes huge temptations? Look what it says in verse 8 in Galatians chapter 1. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. He's saying even if an angel came down and preached something different, something else besides grace through Christ, run from it. In other words, hold tightly to the gospel of truth. I would say the second thing how we can combat this is hold on to the truth. God will be the final judge of what this truth is and our faith is in Christ. The third thing I would say is, and we already know this, just believe what the Bible says. He says, as we've already said, so now I say to you again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what is accepted, let them be under God's curse. There are some things that you and I may not actually see eye to eye. On some of the things that are important, but not so important that I'm going to defellowship with you. I have some friends a long, long time ago that believed that you could only read from the King James Version. And boy, they were strong on that. But that doesn't mean I'm going to defellowship myself from them. That is not another gospel. Or maybe someone has a different view of the end times. We can fellowship together. But if you're going to tell me that it's Jesus Christ crucified plus, in this situation, circumcision, then I don't know if we can see eye to eye, and that's the gospel truth. And we live in a world where they're just adding things. So be careful. And how you can learn is by reading the scripture. Read it over and over again. In this Bible series that we're going to take, it's going to take a few weeks. My guess is about 10 weeks to go through the book of Galatians. It's a challenge and a warning to all of us. Now, I tell you what, I don't know if you're like me, but I think typical Americans, we don't like to be warned, right? I remember telling somebody, hey, if you're not going to live right, certain things are going to happen. And this one kid told me, mind your own business. We don't like it. We don't like it. And maybe you don't like it. I don't like people just telling me, you know, watch out. But the book in Galatians is going to warn us. It's a warning to all of us. And we don't really like to be warned. It's a slap to our pride and our self-sufficiency. But in reality, warning saves lives. Amen? Now, I'm not trying to be crude, but I thought of a funny story. It's a true story. Got your attention. There's a big, big sign in the subways of Chicago. My guess is other subways as well. And it says, do not urinate on the tracks. And it's a true story. One man died on the spot. Warning saves lives. There it was. And I remember seeing the Tampa Tribune, a picture of the warning sign, and there was this cover of a man. I am not trying to be crude, but I am trying to make a point that warnings have a reason. It's a sign for us to listen up. There's a reason it's there. There's a reason it's there. So don't ignore the warnings that we're going to read and see in the book of Galatians, because warning saves lives. Now, what's a warning? In Matthew 7:14, it says, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. When someone walks away from their faith, it should sadden us. It should break our hearts because they're walking away from Jesus, from grace. But it also should what? Warn us. It's a warning. I'm reminded of 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and be sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Luke chapter 22, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you, all of you, as wheat. I love this part. But I have prayed for you, Simon Peter, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. We need to pray for our students that are coming. Amen. That their faith may not fail. And when they have turned back, strengthen your brothers. 1 Peter 1:5. You, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So if tragedy has struck in your life, hold on to Christ. Hold on to Christ. If somehow you're in a place in your life where you feel like, you know, I don't know if this Jesus thing is working, I would encourage you, hold on to Christ, begin to read his word, and rely on his Holy Spirit, on the Holy Spirit. I have no idea what happened to that mission team in Honduras as we parted ways, but I'm sure they all had to make a choice. Hold on to Christ and his goodness and kindness, or slowly walk away. But those who held on to Christ, I'm just speculating here, but I can speculate knowing the gospel is true. They're still relying on grace that comes only through Christ. So this morning I'm going to ask the band to come up in a second, but maybe you have had a hellish experience, a loss. And maybe there's a small part of your heart that has hardened towards Christ. And it's festering. God sees you. He knows what you're going through. And when I love these songs that we say, he'll never let you down. It's not that your life circumstances won't be a letdown. It's that he'll never let you down in the sense that he will always be with you. He will always be with you, even in your tragedy. Even when our minds can't wrap around certain things that happen, he's there with us. So this morning, I pray that you hold on to Christ, even in your hellish experience. And I'm here to remind us that Jesus is holding on to you. And I'm asking that you would allow the Holy Spirit to heal that part of that heart of ours that is hardened towards Christ. I'm always amazed at older folks that come to church. Because if you talk to them, they have lots of reasons to give up, right? Their life experience has been tough. And so if you're older, bless you. Thank you for showing us. Thank you for showing us what holding on to Christ looks like. Thank you. Now, I'm getting up there in age. Next year, we're going to be celebrating a birthday that I don't want to mention. Because I identify as a 30-year-old. Hold on to Christ. I've not suffered a lot. But I can tell you that Jesus is still the answer. So let me encourage you to hold on to Christ. And if you need prayer, we have elders that would, as we learned last week, the kindness of God, they are kind elders that would pray with you to encourage you and help strengthen you. Eric mentioned a few weeks ago that if you're having a challenge in your faith, don't do that alone. Ask questions. We are not afraid of questions. And if I don't know the answer, I'm sure ChatGPT does. We have our own ChatGPT Adams here, so. But don't do that alone. There's an old enemy tactic, does it all the time. Separate and conquer. Divide and conquer. And if you feel that tug of separating yourself, that don't fall for that old enemy tactic of divide and conquer. So I'm reminding you this morning that hold on to Jesus and begin to ask the Lord to heal that part that is hardened towards Christ. Remember that God is not only good, but he is kind. And he loves us and he wants to heal us. He is God with us. Let's ask the band to come on. Let's go ahead and stand. While the band is walking, every eye closed, head bowed. And you're going to say, Pastor Mario, you can just raise your hand in a second, but you say, Pastor Mario, I've had a tragedy, and it's gnawing at me. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'm raising my hand. Somebody else, yes. Well, you're not alone. Seek the Lord and seek those around us that can pray with you. The Holy Spirit is here to help us. Heavenly Father, thank you for our church family this morning. I pray, God, that you would always help us to run to you, not run from you, but run to you. When tragedy strikes, Lord, help us to run to you. And Lord, help us to never fall prey to false gospel or false truth. Through the Holy Spirit, Lord, help us to stand true to your word and hold on to your truth. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer, our elders will come to the front and pray with you. Let's finish our time by singing this last song again.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.